Our scripture lesson today is in Judges chapter number 2. This is over near the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Judges. It's an interesting book, interesting passage. And let's look in chapter number 2. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse text is taken from, and that's verse number 2. If you would stand with me while we look at verse number 2 of chapter number 2 of the book of Judges, and I want to talk to you about several verses long in the first part of this chapter. And the Lord is talking to the people of Israel here, and he says, "And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice." And the text is the last part of that verse. That's a question: why have you done this? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy and for the privilege to be back in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for your precious word and for the privilege to preach the gospel, and especially, Lord, to a congregation like is assembled here today. And I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your servant to help me to say the exact words that you would have me to say, that it might touch the hearts and lives of men and women, and Lord, that they would be blessed and that your name would be honored and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. The question the Lord asked: why have you done this? Now, this is in the past tense, and this is in the book of Judges, and it's kind of a recap of what has already happened, what had already taken place. Israel was now in the land of Canaan. They'd gone to the promised land. They'd made it there at this particular time. And chapter number 1 tells about how Israel failed to drive out the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. The Lord had told them to do this. Instead of them driving them out, as the Lord told them, they let them stay in the land and they made servants out of them. Some things, folks, we pay too much for. A lot of times folks look for bargains. Spend a dollar to save a nickel. We need to do the right things. But these people didn't listen. Remember what happened? I preached on this last Sunday night, was it? The Gibeonites. How that they come and deceived those people and told them we've got come from a far country. They actually lied to them. They were their neighbors. But they had moldy bread and worn out shoes and worn out wine skins that had been patched and so on. But this is all a cover up. And then when Israel made an agreement with them, and notice in the verse that I read, he says, "You shall not make a league with them." That means an agreement or a covenant with them. And they made an agreement with the Gibeonites that they could live there among them. A few days later, they took a trip and found out that their city was just close by where they were living then. And so they told them, and they did not drive them out after that. After they saw what they'd done, and they swore to them, made a vow to them that they wouldn't bother them, made a covenant with them, and it became thorns in their flesh. And that's what the Lord talks about here in this passage as well. But they did not drive them out, and the Lord says, "Why have you done this?" Have you ever done things, and before you got it done, you say, "Why in the world did I do this? Why did I say that? That was the dumbest thing that I ever said in my life." Why would anybody make a statement like that? That's the reason we need to be on the lookout and be aware all the time in our lives. In chapter number 2, here the Israelites had gone now across the Jordan River. Joshua led them across the river and into the land of Canaan. And Joshua had died by the time that Judges come along. Judges was a time, you remember, that when God would raise up a judge, and that judge would lead the people for that long. I remember a preacher talking one time about when he got saved, and he was 30 years old, I believe, when he got saved and felt the Lord call him into ministry. And he was a successful businessman, but he felt like he needed to go to Bible college. He didn't know much about the Bible. And he went to the Bible college. He said, man, I really needed to go. He said, I wondered how all of those judges got elected in the Old Testament. They were appointed by the Lord. The Lord picked out this person, and he was known as a judge. And that judge would lead the people, and the people would follow. And they would follow during the time of that judge. But in that time, it was a roller coaster. I mean a roller coaster. It was up and down. It hit the bottom. It hit the top. God would bless them. And that judge had died. And right back down to the bottom they would go. And this happened for a long time among the Israelites. And this has already taken place here now. And the Lord speaks of this as in the past tense. In verse number 1, God reminds Israel of two things that he done for him in verse number 1 of this chapter 2. One of them was how he delivered them from the land of Egypt. How he brought them out. He reminded them of that he brought them out from the land of Egypt. They didn't come out as paupers. They come out with riches that they borrowed from their neighbors. They came out with their cattle. They had been blessed through for 40 years in the wilderness. God fed them with manna. Those 40 years, he reminded them of what he had done, and he reminded them of the covenant that he made with them. And God made a covenant with them that they would stick to the things that God wanted them to do. And if you don't do it, the Lord says you're going to have to pay for it. Is that not the same thing today that we have? God's made a promise to us, to everyone, but we have to come under God's terms, not ours. We come under God's terms. I catch myself sometime praying and asking the Lord for things and then telling him how to do it. He knows how to do it. He knows how to take care of these things. We just ask him and leave that to the Lord. And then in verse number 2, he told him here, he says, now I don't want you to make any league. And this is talk about a covenant or agreement with these people, the inhabitants of the land. He said, you shall throw down their altars. You break them down, you destroy them, but he says, you've not obeyed my voice. That's what I told you to do when you come into the land. He said, why have you done this? Why have you done this? Why would people turn their back on God? Why has America turned their back on God? You say, preacher, you think that's happened? Sure, it's happened. We've taken God out of the schools. They've said, hey, you can't read the Bible. You can't pray in school. As long as they have exams, there's going to be some praying. That's what the government tells us. You can't do that in the schools. And certain programs that you can't have in the schools. And all of these, and we, as someone has says, we've dismissed God from the schools, and what we brought in is murder and adultery and all of these other things that's going on in the schools today. When you, by the way, Joe Burris used to talk about God being a gentleman. And if you ask God to leave, folks, after a while, he's going to get out. If you invite the Lord to leave out of your life, after a while, you're going to be hunting for him and he's going to be gone. He's a gentleman. He'll knock at the door. He wants to save you. He wants to make you ready for heaven. He knocks at the door. If you don't answer the door, one of these days God's going to quit knocking. One of these days it's going to be too late. So he asked the question, why have you done that? Let's go on and look at some of these other things. Down in verse number 3, the Lord says here, you remember that God made a promise. He says, I will drive the enemies out before you. Now, God didn't take Israel out because they were the strongest nation or the best equipped nation as far as warriors was concerned or soldiers. But he took them out because he loved them and he wanted to make a people that would honor his name and get him a kingdom that he could have fellowship with. And God says, I'll drive your enemies out. And then after they had forsaken the Lord, God had told them, he says, you're going to have to drive the enemies out yourself. You're going to have to do that yourself. And the Lord says, but you would not drive them out. You would not send them out. You'd let them stay in. And he says, they shall be thorns in your side. And he says, and their God shall be a snare, a trap, is what he's talking about, or a net to you. And that's what happens. When people leave God out of their lives, they're likely to worship any God. It's no wonder that people in America today don't know which way to turn. It's no wonder there's so much violence and there's so much things that's happening to people today. No wonder that there's so many things taking place in people's lives today. When you leave God out, you're going to have problems. And Israel knew that. Why have we done this? God never done anybody any damage. He's loving and kind and helpful. And he extends a hand to everybody. And very patient with us. But why do we treat him like we do sometimes? I heard a fellow say one time, and one of the best friends I ever had, I preached his funeral not years ago, and a fine Christian man. And I heard him say one time, he says, I get so busy during the day that some days I go through the whole day and don't take time to pray. Why do we do God like that? And that's what he was saying. Why do we do God like that? Primitive Quartet, I believe, has a song that's talking about what God would like to, how he'd like to fellowship with us. And God says, I woke you up with a bright ray of sunshine coming through your bedroom window, but you jumped up and you was busy and you run off to work, didn't take time to talk to me. That's the Lord. You say, preacher, you losing your mind? Well, I haven't got much to lose, I don't suppose. But no, I'm all right in that line. God is real, folks. He works in our lives. He's a friend. He's a friend. He understands what we need. In verse number 4, the Bible says that these people wept. They wept. In fact, this place was called Bochim, and it means a place of weepers. They wept when God told about these things. Down in verse number 5, it's called Bochim, I guess is the way you pronounce that. They wept and they sacrificed unto the Lord here at this particular time. And then in verse number 6, it says that they all went to their inheritance. Now, they'd already got in the land of Canaan when this had taken place. And now the Lord spoke to them about these things that was happening. But they went to their inheritance at verse number 6, the places that God had given them. And it had been divided out to them. And then in verses 7 through 9, they did okay for the lifetime of Joshua. As long as Joshua lived with them in the land of Canaan, they done fine. But Joshua had died now. And this is the beginning of the judges and the roller coaster effect that it had on the Israelites. And they just started doing their own thing. They started doing their own thing. In verses 7 through 9, it talks about the things that they done. And they done after their old habits. They went back to the old habits of things that they had been doing and turned their back on the Lord and turned away from God. And they had problems because of this. And then skip on down to verse number 11. And it tells here that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Balaam is plural for Baal. It was an idol god that they worshipped, and they turned to that god. You see, when you leave the Lord, you're going to turn to something else, and it's the devil. The idol gods is furnished by the devil, and when you turn to those idol gods, you turn to the devil, and all he's got is hell, folks. And that's where he'll lead people to that follow him. And we don't have to do that. And why do people do that? Why do people do that? But they started serving the idol gods. And so it was very, very sad. We see so many things happening today because of sin. So many things happening because of sin. And I'll give you a little bit of recap of this story. It was told here in chapter number 2, or part of chapter number 2. And we go back to the question the Lord asked, why have you done this? Are you living where you are supposed to be living? Are you living like you're supposed to be living today? If not, why are you not? When you know there's some things in your life that ought not to be there, or maybe you've just never given your heart to the Lord, why are you doing that? The Lord's the best friend we've got. I know God has been disappointed in me. I've been a Christian almost 54 years. I'm 52 years, I can't even count. But the Lord, I know he's been disappointing me in a lot of times. But, you know, I can honestly say that I've never been disappointed with God. Oh, there are some times that I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, why does this happen? But he always comes through. Always comes through. You see, the night I got saved in 1954, when the Lord come into my heart, the night I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Now, I didn't know that much about heaven, and I didn't get so excited about heaven, but I just didn't want to go to hell. And I knew where I was going, and that's the reason why I got saved. That's what I went to church for that night, was to get saved, a revival meeting going on. And I went that night. I told Madge earlier that day, I came by her house and talked a little bit. I said, I'm going to get saved tonight. I can't handle this no more. This is all I can handle. I can't take it no more. And that's what I went to meeting for that night. I went that night to get saved. I didn't go to hear the preacher, and I don't remember what the preacher preached about. I didn't go to hear the preacher. It didn't matter who preached. It didn't matter who sung. It didn't matter what they were doing. I wanted to go and get up to that altar and pray and ask the Lord to come into my heart. And I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. I didn't know how good it would be to be a Christian. You know, I mean, have peace in your heart, peace of mind, that you knew where you was going when life down here is over. Oh, since that time, I've enjoyed living for the Lord, but I've never been disappointed in God. And I didn't start out that night to turn back. I started out to go to heaven. That's what I wanted. I wanted to go to heaven when I left this world, and I didn't know when I was going, and I still don't know when I'm going, but I know where I'm going. And that's what's important. The when is not important. It's just knowing where you're going. But why would you do that? You got a problem that needs to be dealt with. Do it while you got time. Maybe a physical problem. Maybe a personal problem. It may be an emotional problem. Or it may be a spiritual problem. And I'm not sure that all of them will work together somewhat. But if you got that problem and you're letting it dominate your life and keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing and destroying things in your life, destroying your testimony, destroying your happiness. Why do you do that? You say, preacher, don't you ever make mistakes? Oh, yes. I make mistakes. Sometimes I come in over to the side door, and I never will forget what Susan Purgeon told me one time. Susan Whitey had cleaned the church for years, and two of the finest people we've got. And Susan said, preacher, she says, one good thing about being the custodian of the church, that you can come to church and you can get on the altar and get things fixed up with the Lord just while you're here by yourself. I said, hey, that works for the pastor too. Sometimes I lock the door, come in here, get on my knees and say, Lord, I've got a problem that I can't handle. And I'm willing to do what you want me to do. But I got to have some help. He's never let me down, folks. He's never let me, and he don't love me any more than he loves you. Even though I'm getting old, he still loves you just like he loves me. He's there. Why do you not let the Lord take control of your life? People are leaving this world. It seems like every time you turn around, there's another death. I guess as we get older, we notice it more. But I tell you, I don't know what it is, but I tell you, folks, you need to be ready to meet the Lord. Don't let Satan destroy your life. Don't let him do it. You say, but preacher, how can I keep from? He only has the room that you give him. Now, if he can crowd his way in, he'll crowd his way in. But the Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And that's the Holy Spirit. Why don't you give your heart to the Lord? There's an invitation song in the hymn book, and Homer, if you, I forgot to tell you this earlier, I don't know what the number it is, I don't know what the title of it is. Why do you wait, dear brother? You remember that song? It's in our hymn book. And that's what it is. It's a question all the way through that song. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? The Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne among his people. And why not? Why not come to him now? And I ask you, why not let the Lord take control of your life? If you're not a Christian, why not just give him your heart and your life? Ask him to save you. If you're struggling with something, I don't want you to tell me what's bothering you. If you need to talk to me about your problem, that's fine. That's fine. I'll be glad to listen and do anything in the world that I can. But I'm not interested in what you're doing that's wrong. I'm interested in you doing the thing that's right. You don't have to confess to me. Nothing. I mean, nothing. And if you're going to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, you don't want to do me. I'm the dumbest person there ever was. I've been taken in so many times, I can't even count them. But the Lord is the one. That's what I want you to do, is to make sure that you're right with God. And don't let old Satan destroy you. He loves you. He loves you. And sometimes you may destroy something that besides your own life and your own happiness. Give it to the Lord. Let the Lord take care of it. Would you bow your head, Brother Homer? Would you come and lead us into the verse of an invitation song? If you've got a problem in your life, I beg you to please, please. And if you're not a Christian, you've got a problem. One of these days we've got to leave the world. The Bible said that it's once appointed unto men to die, and after this the judgment. And we need to make sure that we're ready to meet God. So if you've got a problem you need to talk to the Lord about, we invite you to come. Father, we pray to speak to hearts in the time of this invitation and to work your precious will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?